Today on the IoT Show, we'll talk about a brand new feature to the Azure IoT Hub service. That new feature is called Device Streams and allows to establish tunnel communication over TCP between services in the cloud and applications on devices. So basically, you'll be able to securely and safely authenticate through IoT Hub and communicate over TCP between an application and a device. And Reza, the PM for that new feature on IoT Hub, comes to the show to talk to us about it. Hi everyone, this is the Internet of Things show. I'm Olivier, your host, and today we have Reza to discuss a new feature in IoT Hub, which is called Device Streams. Reza, thanks for coming on the show again.
Absolutely.
We had you recently. For those who don't know you, actually, can you introduce yourself and tell people what you're doing within the Azure IoT team?
Absolutely. My name is Reza Sherfat, and I'm a Senior Program Manager in the Azure IoT Hub platform team. Mm-hmm. So we work on the IoT Hub platform primitives, many of the messaging features, remote procedure call, and the new one that we are taking to public preview, which is called Device Streams. And I'm here to give a quick demo and introduction to that for you.
Awesome. So yeah, we'll get to know that new feature of IoT Hub. IoT Hub is growing every day with new features that are dedicated to IoT scenario. I understand that this one is something that's been asked by customers for enabling specific scenarios that we're going to actually see. So what is Device Streams about?
Absolutely. So as I said, this is a brand new feature that we are adding to the Azure IoT Hub portfolio of features. And it solves actually a pretty common problem that customers have. Okay. A very common scenario that we have seen customers deploy their devices in is inside of private networks. These might be networks inside of enterprises or factory floor, local area networks, or manufacturing plants, etc. As a result of the security requirements on these networks, in many cases there are firewalls deployed at the perimeters of these networks to block all the incoming connections from outside. And yet there is a large need for different scenarios. So for example, when operators need to maintain some of these devices and service these devices from a remote site. These might be operators from a third-party company that need to access the devices and remotely connect to their network initially before being able to perform the functionality that they need to perform. Okay. There are other scenarios as well. So for example, when you might need to do diagnostic on the device, you might need to access the diagnostic portals that are deployed on the devices, or might even need to access the file system on the device, access the logs that are sitting on the file system in order to do various functions and to support various scenarios.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, the security of these networks is a top concern for customers. And the presence of the firewall is basically there to ensure security of the network. So as a result, there is a conflict, obviously, because the firewall is blocking the incoming connections, and yet there is a need to access the devices.
Yep. And it's something that IoT Hub, once the device is authenticated and connected to IoT Hub, we have this tunnel for communicating over various types of protocols, MQTT or AMQP, depending on what you choose, to transmit telemetry data or to synchronize the device twin, which is a JSON file.
Yeah.
So what you're describing actually are about existing protocols that you would need to implement in between a backend and a device that traditionally would go on specific ports that are closed by the firewall, if I understand
correctly, right?
Okay.
That's right. So as you mentioned very correctly, in fact, IoT devices that are home to an IoT Hub already have an outbound connection to Azure Cloud, and particularly to IoT Hub. And what we are enabling through Device Streams is to leverage that outbound connection that's already established from the device to the cloud to also be used for receiving traffic over incoming connections on the device side.
Okay.
So particularly, as I am showing in this diagram, even though these external services that might need to access the device are blocked under a direct connection line to the device, they may still use Device Streams to rendezvous in the cloud side. And they basically, particularly the device and the service side, both connect to IoT Hub. And IoT Hub acts as a proxy, basically, that transfers traffic between these two entities and from the device to the service and back from the service to the device.
Makes sense. And the service application has to be authenticated also to IoT Hub. So meaning that ITUP knows the two entities and actually can ensure that your end-to-end application or implementation is totally safe.
Absolutely. Yep. So device streams is a very much a security-focused feature. And mm-hmm. encryption and authentication of the tunnel that exists on both sides of the device streams is something that happens transparently under the hood mm-hmm. without much involvement from the application side.
Okay.
So let me go over and quickly review some of the advantages that device streams bring to the customers. First and foremost, device streams enable end-to-end connectivity to IoT devices in a firewall-friendly manner.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, it is really the question of how to connect to IoT devices in a way that does not compromise the security of the network the devices are on, or the security of the devices. So it's really important to be able to avoid opening up of firewall ports in a random fashion, or avoid complicated setups that sometimes might be needed through virtual private networks
mm-hmm.
or other setups that that are kind of a substitute to device streams. The other benefit that device streams offer, as you again correctly mentioned, is authentication, and enforcement of authentication. Both sides of a device stream need to authenticate with their corresponding IoT hub credentials. So it ensures that not any endpoint in the open internet can connect to a device. Only those that have access to the secrets of IoT hub are able to communicate and establish these types of tunnels. The third benefit is encryption of the communication line over device streams. Basically, all the application data that is sent over device streams is encrypted by default. This is particularly true regardless of the fact whether the application uses encryption or not.
Mm-hmm.
Even the application, if they transfer just pure text messages, and in plain text, we encrypt them over the channels, both between the device and IoT hub, as well as the service and IoT hub.
But that stays transparent for the actual application
that
is going through that tunnel,
yes.
right?
So the device side sees the bytes as they were sent from the server side,
mm-hmm.
and the server side sees the bytes as they were sent from the device side.
Right. So, but in between, like we take the package, encrypt it,
that's
like
right.
ensure the authentication first, like encrypt the message, pass it over, decrypt it,
yeah.
through our SDKs, I suppose, on the device side of things.
That's right.
And then we have the application that accesses
yeah.
the data.
Okay. So traffic over the network, over these tunnels, are encrypted. But once the device or service receives the byte stream that the other side has sent, it's decrypted and is basically handed over to the application in its original form.
Okay.
And finally, I want to mention that device streams is compatible with the TCP/IP stack. Basically, any client-server application that might run on the service and client that uses TCP/IP can tunnel their traffic through device streams.
That's a lot.
That is quite a bit.
That's a lot of functionalities. Like, and one that comes to mind immediately is SSH, right?
That's right.
I want to log into my device remotely to do the task that you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, you have demos coming up, right?
Absolutely. So
we'll see that.
Okay. We'll see that in a bit. But as you mentioned, both off-the-shelf applications such as SSH or other applications that are built into operating system platforms mm-hmm. such as remote desktop can tunnel their traffic through device streams, and in the demo I'll cover those.
Okay.
But this is obviously, I want to emphasize that this is not only restricted to these applications, even
mm-hmm.
though these are among the most commonly demanded scenarios of customers to ensure secure connectivity to the
mm-hmm.
device, it still is a tip of the iceberg. And as you said, there are various types of applications that the customers can develop on their own and use device streams, whether various types of standards-based applications like the HTTP, HTTPS, that can also leverage device streams in a very similar fashion.
So I have a question that might be a bit tricky, but being in public preview, I think it's pretty fair, but do we need to expect a tax in terms of performance in these communication? Because instead of going directly, you're basically getting a encrypted, safer communication, but like I would assume that theoretically you have a little tax in terms of the performance of that communication, right?
Yeah, that is true. There is some basically extra data packets that need to be transmitted. And particularly in terms of the end-to-end latency, there might be a tax that needs to be paid.
Yeah. But minor for the benefits of having the authentication, the encryption taken care of by ITUP.
And as we basically introduce this feature, and over time we're going to introduce it in new regions, and if customers ensure that their hub is located in the same region that the service and the device are physically located, mm-hmm. then they can minimize the impact of these types of latencies.
Fair enough.
But as I will show in the demo, in fact, the IoT Hub instance that I'm using is in the central US region, yeah. which is quite away from us.
Yeah.
And
because we are in Bosnia, that's why.
No, we are a little bit even further.
No, we're in the US. Don't worry, guys.
But the applications that we use device streams for are mostly interactive. And for example, in the SSH case, you will see that the SSH prompt quickly shows up. Mm-hmm. And there is very negligible amount of delay, at least in this demo.
And
setup.
Once again, you know, for the value in terms of security it adds and the control you get over the devices and so on, I think it's totally acceptable to have a little tax in performance, right?
That's right. Yeah. If the compromise is to open up firewall ports, which in some cases is absolutely a no-go for
it's
organizations, that is the alternative.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let me quickly go over what it entails to establish a device streams. I'm not going to get into much of the details, but at a high level, I want to mention that the device and service are entities that, from a traditional perspective, they were already connected to IoT Hub, and particularly they are interacting with what we call the IoT Hub's main endpoint.
Okay.
When the service wants to initiate a connection to a device, they perform a handshake. And as part of these handshake protocols, they establish a secondary connection each to a second endpoint, which we call a streaming endpoint. And that is the endpoint where the actual data bytes transmitted over a device stream is sent over.
Okay.
And I'm showing that at a very high level in this diagram. At the end of this process, each device and service through our SDK get access to a WebSocket client, mm-hmm. which they can use to send or receive data over. And this WebSocket is particularly connected to the streaming endpoint and offers the same level of guarantees and reliability and ordering guarantees that that are on par with TCP/IP.
Okay.
So from that aspect, any byte that they write to the stream is received from the other side as is and without any reordering or reliability issues. Yeah.
You mentioned the use of RSDK. So on the service side of things, you would use the known as service SDK mm-hmm. for IoT Hub. And on the device side, you would use the device SDK. And I would assume that someone already has an application that connects to IoT Hub can benefit from that new feature by upgrading the version of that SDK uses in his application and then leveraging that new endpoint and set of features, right?
Right. So basically, applications have two ways to use device streams. One is through RSDK, which means that they can programmatically integrate into RSDK and start calling our APIs to initiate these device streams, do the handshake, and ultimately receive the WebSocket client in order to send and receive data.
Okay.
That is integration path number one.
Okay.
But for applications such as SSH and RDP and the applications that are more off the shelf, and customers normally don't have access to their source code or for various reasons are not willing to make any source code changes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a model of using proxies that is actually involved in the demo that I'm going to show in the towards the end of this.
Am I actually going too fast?
You are definitely going fast.
That's good, because that means that you're actually presenting what I'm interested in.
That's right. So this demo demonstrates the use of device streams for the SSH scenario, which, as I'm showing in this diagram here, has two entities involved. One is the device side, which actually runs the SSH daemon, the server side of the SSH protocol, and the other one shown on the right is the SSH client, where the user tries to run and log in and acts as the client side of the SSH protocol.
Okay.
As I mentioned, for various reasons, the direct connectivity between these two endpoints can be blocked, for example, through the use of firewalls. And now we want to apply device streams as a technology that enables end-to-end connectivity between these two programs while rendezvousing the traffic through IoT Hub, so that we can have end-to-end secure end-to-end connectivity without violating the organization's policies around the firewalls, firewall rules. So what we have distributed as part of our samples, and there are also accompanying quick start guides on how to set this up and run the samples mm-hmm. is two programs that we call device local proxy, shown here in orange, mm-hmm. and service local proxy, shown here in blue. So these are the programs that that take the integration path number one, and mm-hmm. they integrate with our SDK programmatically. They okay. start calling our APIs. Under the hood, they interact with IoT Hub and create device streams without the knowledge of SSH daemon or SSH client in this okay. In this scenario. Mm-hmm. Now, interaction lines number one and two correspond to basically the same handshake workflow that I had in the previous slide. But now, when the user is ready to create an actual SSH session to start mm-hmm. accessing the device, the proxy programs also act as client and servers for these two SSH daemon as well as the SSH client. I'm going to show this in using these two extra arrows. Okay. In arrow that's tagged with number three, the service local proxy is acting as a server, listening on a port, in this case an arbitrarily configurable port, port number 2222 on the local host of the service host. Mm-hmm. And the user uses their SSH client to connect to this port
okay.
instead of directly going and interacting with the SSH daemon over port 22. On the other hand, in the line that is shown here using tag number four, the device local proxy acts as a client to the SSH daemon and connects to the SSH daemon over port 22, which is the standard port for SSH.
Okay.
Now, if you look at the diagram, we have end-to-end connectivity between the SSH client program on the right mm-hmm. that goes through this, the service local proxy okay. through IoT Hub, down to device local proxy, and ultimately to the SSH daemon as the server side yep. of the mm-hmm. of the interaction.
Yep. And you were mentioning that these are provided as open source samples, right?
That's right.
So don't freak out. Like the implementation of all these mechanisms and chains of events is something that actually you can get pretty easily done using the open source samples that we provide.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the programs are themselves very simple. So to demonstrate this interaction, mm-hmm. There is not much magic involved, really.
Nice.
And the users can look at the code and, in fact, apply it in other places as well.
Perfect.
So what I'm going to demonstrate is I'm going to use my Windows laptop mm-hmm. to host, in fact, both the device and service. But unfortunately, since Windows, I am not running a SSH server, mm-hmm. I'm connecting to a different machine that has SSH.
Okay.
I am going to bring up three terminals, terminal number one, two, and three from the left. The first terminal shows the terminal on the device, represents okay. the terminal okay. on the device. And I'm going to run the device local proxy over there.
Okay.
As part of the configuration of the device local proxy, I'd like to show that I'm providing three pieces of information. If I can increase the font quickly.
Yep.
I'm providing the device connection string, which is the authentication string used to interact with IoT Hub. I'm providing a host name for where the actual SSH service is running.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, as I mentioned, I'm connecting to a Linux box. So I've provided the IP address for that box. And ultimately, I'm providing the port used by that application. And in this case, SSH uses port 22.
Okay.
So these are the three pieces of information configured on the device side. On the service side that I have in the middle, again, I'm providing three pieces of information. The first one is the connection string,
okay.
the service connection string, mm-hmm. again, for the service side to authenticate
yep.
with IoT Hub.
Yep.
Then I'm providing the device ID that it needs to connect to.
Okay.
This corresponds to the same ID that the device authenticates with.
Yep, yep.
And ultimately, I'm providing a port number, which is an arbitrary port that the service local proxy will listen on for incoming SSH connection from SSH
yep.
From the user.
Okay. So don't pause the video and try to get these connection strings, because anyways, the IT Hub related to that demo will be long gone by then. Right?
Definitely. All right. So the third terminal over here is the terminal that I'm going to use to run SSH client. Okay. So let's go one terminal at a time from the left. I'm going to use .NET run to run the project of this sample program.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do the same in the middle terminal for the service side. As you can see, the device local proxy is configured to connect to a remote terminal on this address and this port. And the service local proxy, similarly, is ready and listening on the local host port 2222.
Okay.
Now I'm going to use the third terminal to SSH to where the service local proxy is listening on, which is localhost on port 2222. And I'm going to provide my own username. And I do have a typo, localhost.
There you go. Real demos.
Yes.
There you go.
OK. Now I've already connected to the local proxy. And this is actually the SSH prompt that is coming from the SSH server. So I'm going to provide my credentials.
I think you're wrong.
I was not
window.
Typing in there right there. And yeah, and I'm in. This is the SSH prompt that is being served through device streams to the client program here.
Yeah, and as we can see, the person using that SSH client sees no difference from a regular connection to a remote machine using SSH, right?
So other than connecting to localhost on port 2222, there has been no change on the client side. And normally, applications should be written in a way that that is only a matter of a configuration and change of configuration for those programs.
Great. Great demo. So the call to action is for people to go try out this public preview of the device streams feature of IoT Hub. Thanks, Reza, for coming on the show. Thanks, guys, for watching. Don't forget to subscribe for the show. Mm-hmm.